I think the one thing that almost everyone who pursues a spiritual life is looking for is what I would call peace. And it really isn't world peace, or even peace within one's family or one's society. It's really a kind of peace that differentiates you from the noise and war in your own mind. When people say stop the world, I want to get off, they really mean stop my mind, I want rest. Our mind and our body are so persistently with us and in such constant motion and emotion and conflict often and struggle that the only thing that approaches peace for many people is work. Because work is focused. It takes all of the mind activity and it brings it into a certain one-pointedness. You can use it to think about something. You can use it to create something. You can use it to diagnose something. It's a wonderful thing. The mind focused is a very joyous thing for most people. And there are a lot of very brilliant people in the world who have an incredible capacity to focus their mind on the problem at hand, whether that be an artistic problem or a medical problem or a diagnostic problem emotionally. And they can see the issue and they can move through it. And it's a great gift. And then what happens is the same very, very talented people take a few days off and their mind is as chaotic as anybody else's. And their chaos is released by getting back to work, getting back to the task at hand. But that's not peace, really. It's just focus. Peace is facing the abstract noise in your life, the volatility of your own mental actions, the emotional landscape of your existence, which is sometimes as stormy as the weather outside and sometimes worse, and finding yourself so caught in it that you are not able to find peace. And so life becomes a struggle. It becomes painful. You wake up often to the struggle. I know I wake up and go, oh God, I see the whole picture of the day ahead of me, and it's nothing but demand, demand, demand. And I have to deal with the fact that I just had a dream life that I knew nothing about that just completely blindsided me and created all sorts of stuff that I carry into the day. I'm foolish enough to pick up the New York Times in the morning, and that throws me into a million different spheres of experience and thought. And then I sit down to work, and I don't want to focus. I have this enormous resistance about bringing all of that wild energy into one-pointedness. The thing that helps me on a daily basis is my sit, my meditation. Because I bring myself into this place, and I just go, here I am. And all the stuff of the day is already forming. It's already in place. I don't know what it's all going to erupt into, but the seed form is all there. And I sit down and I go, okay. It's kind of my weather report. And I feel the brewing of things. Often I'm surprised by other stuff, but often I can feel where I am at. And where I'm at is really either in a place of observation, awareness, and engagement, or in a place of distraction, noise, and disengagement. And if I am in a very disengaged place, I will sit there and try to allow myself to become engaged. In other words, present. And sometimes I'm very successful. I sit down and I experience what I would call the miracle of meditation. The miracle of meditation is you sit down and you feel the universe inside you. you feel this bubbling up, if that's the right word, or the arising of this vast universal presence that just fills you like the sun coming up in the morning. You just go. And some days it doesn't appear at all. It just doesn't appear. I sit there and I can do anything. It just doesn't want to come. I used to blame myself. I used to think I'm doing something wrong. If I worked deeper or harder or somehow I made some more effort, it would happen. But then it dawned on me somewhere along the way that my expectation of this energy arising was nothing but an expectation. There is no certainty. There's no guarantee. What arises is what arises. So you can sit down in meditation and be completely surprised. You can be surprised by nothing arising, by boredom, by mind that is so engaged in stuff that's 4 hours away from happening. There you're plotting and planning and thinking, nothing to do with what's happening in the moment and all this activity. And what I've learned is to go, huh. It's really interesting when you go, huh. Because you don't try to make it something other. You're not trying to force yourself into an expected kind of inner state. You're simply acknowledging the state that is. And so I go, okay. And the funny thing happens the minute I acknowledge what's there. For reasons that are hard to explain, I'm often at that point not fighting what's there. I'm not judging it. I'm not saying it should be different. I'm not saying I should take another breath. I just go, hmm. And what I experience is what you might call peace. It's like, huh. It's an acceptance. It's a surrender. It's a presence. It's an ease of being. It's a not wanting it to be other than it is. It's just saying this is how it is. And that peace is in some ways desirable. It's a sweet feeling as opposed to a chaotic feeling. It's an emotional harmonic as opposed to a dissonant. And so it's very lovely. And when I experience it, I'm very happy to be there. But there are times where you sit down and you accept the dissonance in your life and it doesn't change. It just stays dissonant, uncomfortable, awkward, unhappy. And you accept it completely, and it just is what it is. This takes a certain kind of spiritual training because there is this subtle underpinning that wants the acceptance to have a result, that you want the acceptance to change the thing that is into a sweeter version of it. And that is not a given. A lot of the times you accept what is and you just simply accept it. It means perhaps you're not at war with it, but it doesn't make it any different. It's just okay. It's a little bit like accepting the political stasis. You look at things, you go, I can't change this in this moment. I will have a moment where I can vote, which is about a year and a half away, but right at this moment, I can't change things. And so rather than get riled up about it and into the drama of the day, I just go, there will come a moment where I can do active things that affect the moment. And that's very meaningful. And so you just accept it and you stop getting roiled up by it. You just accept the condition because it's not going to change. Your roiling up about it doesn't change it. It just means you're roiled up. So in a certain sense, by accepting it, you experience, again, not exactly peace, but not war. You're not at war. It's just there. And its there-ness is somehow very real and compelling. And you go, okay. There is, however, another kind of peace. And the Bible calls it the peace that surpasseth all understanding. And the arrival of that peace seems to have no particular causality. It just comes. it comes in my life more often when I'm sitting still than when I'm driving the car or when I'm writing. But it can come when I'm driving the car, and it can come when I'm writing. It can come at any moment in time, watching TV or reading the New York Times. This sudden sense of total at-one-ment with yourself and with everything that is. It is like looking out the window on a day with a beautiful sunset. If you go the next day expecting the same sunset, you will be nothing but disappointed, because every day is different. The arising of a peace that surpasseth understanding is its own manifestation, its own truth. It happens because it happens. And all you can do when it happens is be with that. And when it's not happening, you cannot crave it. You cannot ask for it back. Part of real spiritual unfolding is to simply be with what is. This hunger that we have to be free of our tensions, to be free of our emotions, to be free of our conflicts and suffering, the desire for all of that, and the idea that somehow there's a place we can get to where that will no longer be our issue. No, we will no longer have suffering. We will no longer have conflict. The idea that that's in your mind creates, I think, a very artificial expectation for spiritual practice, because you are constantly working for something that is not natural. What is natural is what is, what comes up. And what is natural, in the deepest sense, is your allowing and accepting of that. That allowing and accepting, that sweet embrace of the universe, is in a certain sense its own peace and its own enlightenment. Because you have surrendered the war with what is. You've surrendered the battle. It doesn't mean that the battle doesn't rage. It doesn't mean that you have entered a place of beatific being. It simply means that you have said yes to the universe. When that happens, the nature of craving changes. And if you do find craving arising in yourself, even that you simply observe. If you find something disgusting you or turning you off or turning you away, you just look at it and you accept it. In other words, you don't fight your nature. You are your nature. Your nature likes things and doesn't like things. It's who you are. You were programmed that way. It comes up. So you allow it to come up and you observe it. It's as close as I've come to what I think one calls enlightenment. And I'm not saying that this is the full extent of awakening. I can't believe it is. But it certainly is a way of living that announces to you what is the end of embattlement and what is, if you will, the nature of inner peace. It is a state of being or non-confrontation with who you are and with what is. In a sense, it's learned. Mostly it's practiced. And mostly it's practiced in the moment of sitting still. When you sit still and you really observe all of your behaviors and all of your stuff arising, you can really at that point practice this allowing and accepting. It's the most extraordinary part of meditation, because when you're engaged in the day, when you're on the subway, when you're running to catch the bus, when you're doing anything else, it's very hard to be still and aware. Not impossible, but hard. Once you have this practice in place of simply being deeply, deeply aware of your inner surrender, you find that that practice of peace in yourself carries itself into your life more and more and more. It allows you to forgive yourself when it's not working. It allows you to not enter into every moment thinking it should be this way or that way. You just take it as it comes because it has arisen. In that regard, life becomes a very holy experience. That which rises is. That which is in front of you is yours. And you start to go, I get it. I get it. And the mind lets it go, and your heart embraces it. The mind stops fighting, and the heart says yes. That's the doorway to a kind of extraordinary peace that is in many ways the gift of this practice. If you are craving peace, you won't get it. The mere craving it and wanting it already complicates it. But if you are simply entering into a place of observation and stillness, entering into the present moment, peace will arrive. It arrives because you've stopped fighting with yourself and you've stopped fighting with life, and then there's just peace. So try it and enjoy it. Any questions? I'm heading out to LA on Thursday, be back in a month. As usual, I'll send out emails about classes here, and you're really welcome to come. I give very high grades to anybody who makes the effort. It's extraordinary to me that anybody chooses to make any effort in any regard, but life is an accumulation of efforts, and we are all the beneficiaries of those efforts. So thank you for that effort.